Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, you know, many of you know I am an aficionado of Charles Wesley hymns, and what we just sang this morning is the reason why. All right, let me read to you the first chapter of the book of Jonah. I'm reading from a translation called the Common English Bible. The Lord's word came to Jonah, Amittai's son. Get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their evil has come to my attention. So Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship headed for Tarshish. He paid the fare and went aboard to go with them to Tarshish away from the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, so that there was a great storm on the sea. The ship looked as if it might be broken to pieces. The sailors were terrified, and each one cried out to his God. They hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to make it lighter. Now Jonah had gone into the hold of the vessel to lie down and was deep in sleep. The ship's officer came to him and said, "How can you possibly be sleeping so deeply? Get up! Call on your God. Perhaps your God will give some thought to us so that we won't perish." Meanwhile, the sailors said to each other, "Come on, let's cast lots, so that we might learn who is to blame for this evil that is happening to us." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they said to him, "Tell us, since you're the cause of this evil that's happening to us, what do you do and where are you from? What's your country, and of what people are you?" He said, "I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were terrified and said to him, "What have you done?" The men knew that Jonah was fleeing from the Lord because he told them. They said to him, "What will we do about you so that the sea will become calm around us?" The sea was continuing to rage. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm around you. I know it's my fault that this great storm has come on you." The men rowed to reach dry land, but they couldn't manage it because the sea continued to rage against them. So they called upon the Lord, saying, "Please, Lord, don't let us perish on account of this man's life, and don't blame us for innocent blood. You are the Lord. Whatever you want, you can do." Then they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased its raging. The men worshipped the Lord with a profound reverence. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made solemn promises. Meanwhile, the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. The word of God for the people of God. Well, ain't that a story? This story of Jonah, I mean, there is a world of things to think about, of God's calling and presence and place in our lives. But I want to focus on a couple of things over the next couple of weeks. The first one is when God calls. We talk about the call of God. And then next week we'll talk a little bit about response. So, Jonah has been called. God says, "Get up and go." And Jonah says, "Oh, you want me to go that way, do you? Well, I'm going that way." And he heads for Tarshish, because he don't want to do what God wants him to do. And of course, we You hear the story of the storm that rises and shakes the place, and how Jonah is identified as the problem, tossed into the sea. The storm goes away, and Jonah gets swallowed by a big fish. It raises some questions for me. In this whole business of being called by God, who does God call? Well, Jonah. And the Bible is full of places where God calls. He called Abram. He called Moses. He called Samuel. He called Mary. He called the disciples. Time and again, God enters into life. God enters into the world as we know it and says, here I am, and I have something for you. So who are these people whom God calls in scriptures? Well, that's it. Jonah's the one we're looking at this morning. And thank goodness, aren't we blessed that the Bible offers us such a world of biographical information about Jonah? He's the son of Amittai. That's it, folks. He's the son of Amittai. Now, Samuel was a little boy serving in the temple. Abram was a farmer up in what, present-day Iran or Iraq. Geography was not my long suit. The 12 were just guys doing their thing. Mary was very likely a teenage girl. So when we deal with the question of who God calls, God seems to call just about anybody. And he doesn't seem to think about what their position is in the world or what their place is among their fellows. Again, the Bible tells us nothing about Jonah except who his father is. I choose to conjecture from that Jonah was a pretty ordinary guy. If he'd been a prince or something, then that would have been well known. Say, Abram was a farmer. David was a teenager, a shepherd. And shepherds were not the most highly thought of people in Hebrew society. So when God calls, God doesn't call by the standards that many times we think of. What's this person's preparation? And what's this person's status? And what's this person's knowledge or experience? God almost seems to just sort of go, today it'll be you. So the who of God's call is pretty much anybody. But Jonah gets me thinking, so how does God call? And for Jonah, it was a very direct, no introduction, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, get up and go. And go to Nineveh and tell them that I am royally ticked off at them. With Moses, there was an elaborate discussion. I've heard of your suffering. I ache for you. I've come to rescue you. Now you go and talk to Pharaoh for me. You know, with Samuel, he doesn't even tell him who he is. Samuel hears God and runs to Eli. He says, did you call me? It took him 3 times to realize, and Eli had to tell him, this isn't me that's calling you, buddy. Isaiah was a priest offering sacrifice. And God didn't just speak, or God didn't just call out to him. God shook the building he was in and filled it with smoke and scared him half to death. God spoke to Mary in a gentle voice and patiently explained to her what it was that God was calling for. Moses, that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful dialogue at the burning bush. Moses is so comforting to me, because I look at myself and think about God's call to me and what I did. And boy, it was just like that. Moses lined up his excuses. I can't. Here's all the reasons why. And even, I love that he even gets nasty. Well, I can't speak very well, and talking to you hasn't made it any better. So God's call comes in many ways and in many forms. Because God calls to the people whom God knows he needs to do something at some time that is God's purpose in the world. And so God calls. I find myself wondering, well, I don't find myself wondering, but I think sometimes we all wonder how do we understand that now? Does God's call come in those ways, in those forms? Does God even call anymore? Well, share a personal story. God called me. I think a lot of us assume that for people in pastoral ministry, well, God called you to that. And certainly in my case, he did. Sixth grader, St. John's Elementary School, West Fitchburg, Massachusetts. Yes, Virginia, there is a West Fitchburg, Massachusetts. And Neil is sitting in his sixth grade classroom, Sister Mary Thomasine, firmly enthroned at the desk up front. And a visitor from a foreign mission society in the Catholic Church called the Maryknoll Society was visiting and was showing a movie about the work of the Maryknollers. Some of you old enough to remember those 8mm projectors sat in the back of the room, and you could hear them tick, 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 while the film was running. Well, Neil was doing what he always did in the classroom. He was not paying attention. He was, matter of fact, I even remember it as long ago as it was, and boy, it's a long time. How dark it was. It was a very heavy overcast. And while the Maryknoll missioner was explaining, showing the movie and explaining the work of the Maryknoll Society, I was looking at the remarkable contrast between the dark, dark clouds outside and how bright the fluorescent lights were. Oh. And that was typical of my participation in school. And something happened. You know how you react when somebody sneaks up behind you and pokes you in the ribs? That kind of That's exactly what happened. And I knew. There wasn't any cross appearing in the sky in this sign you shall conquer. There wasn't, the earth didn't shake like it did for Isaiah. I just knew what I was supposed to do. And so, I launched into it. I was excited. I was happy. In those days, I thought, I get to be a priest and say Mass Won't that be wonderful? And so by the time I was in ninth grade, I was in a seminary. In those days, the Catholic Church had seminaries for high school. And that proved, well, we won't give you any details, but that proved to be one of the more breathtaking failures of my life. And so I came home, devastated, hating myself for failing, assuming that God had written me off for not following through on what he had for me. And I became a Jonah. Oh, you want me to go to Nineveh? I'm going to Tarshish. I brushed it aside. I buried every mention of it. Every time it would come into my mind, I'd say, no, no, no. And ultimately, I squashed it. I didn't hear anymore. And I just figured, that's over. That's done. God is still calling. And yes, you're right. God calls women and men into the ministry of pastor and preacher. The Bible tells us that. Some are pastors and teachers. Some are preachers. Some are exhorters. And God calls in all kinds of different ways. But I think that sometimes among us there is this idea that, yeah, God calls preachers, but the rest of us, our job is just to, obey the commandments, work on the church suppers, and just kind of be cool. Because, well, who are we? I mean, we're not anybody. Neil's mouth has gotten him in trouble since he was 2 years old. As a matter of fact, I just experienced the death of my dear Aunt Betty. Aunt Betty Gersh, and she was a force to be reckoned with. And I remember, because she never let me forget, the day I met her. I was about 10 years old. And she was dating my Uncle Neil. Great name. And she came up to me and she said, "Well, how old are you?" And I said, "Well, that's none of your business." She never, and I mean never, let me forget that. So why did I tell you about Aunt Betty? Now, anyway, she's a good old girl. To tell you that my mouth was always getting me in trouble. So my mouth, my voice has been a central part of my reality for my life. And so God called and said, "You really aren't worth much, but I can use that mouth if you'll give it to me." So I did. Most of the time. In the lives that we lead, we are ordinary people. But again, when you look at the Bible stories of whom God calls, who do you see? Ordinary people. We don't even get to know anything about Jonah, except his dad's name. I don't know about you, but Amittai. Yeah, he lives right down the street. We know that some were kids, some were grown-ups, but we don't know a lot about them. For the most part, they were ordinary people. God still calls ordinary people. You and me. And calls us to be God's voice, God's presence, God's power even, in a world that so desperately needs that and so eagerly runs away from it. One aspect of those, of this call of Jonah that came out in our reading this morning, is that God very clearly and succinctly and unmistakably said, get up and here's what I want you to do. But he didn't say that Jonah couldn't say no. Because Jonah said, nothing doing. You want me in Nineveh? I'm going to Tarshish, because that's about as far away from Nineveh as I can get. So one aspect of the presence of God and God's call is that God never denies us our freedom to say no. But we also see in that call of Jonah that when we say no, God isn't always very happy with it. And that God will not simply say, okay, you say no, I'll see you then. That God says, no is not the answer. And I'm going to keep putting things in your way so you can't keep saying no. Once more, when my yes turned into a no, and I spent a lot of years living with that and very happy with it. Pressure was off. I didn't have to learn. I didn't have to try. I didn't have to try to figure out what God wanted. I could just kind of do what I wanted. But every time I turned around, someone was reminding me. When Lisa and I, for a number of years, attended a little Episcopal church in Lunenburg, Massachusetts. Yes, there's one of those, too. And I always, when I was in a church, I always wanted to kind of, you know, be active, be doing something. So I signed on as a scripture reader. And I don't know if any of you know anything about the Episcopal Church or the whole Anglican way of doing things. Everybody has their robe that they wear. So if you're the priest, you have your priest's robe, and the choir has a robe, and this one has a robe, and the scripture reader had a robe. So I put on my scripture reader's robe, and I'd read, well, just like I did this morning, I'd read the appointed scripture for the day. And inevitably, someone would come to me after the service at coffee fellowship and say, have you ever thought about being a minister? And I'd say, no! One day while I was sitting in my robe waiting to go into the service, one of the choir members came over to me, in her robe, of course, and said, now, Neil, where is your church? I said, well, it's right here. No, she said, where is your church? She asked me that several times, and she wouldn't explain the question. She simply asked several times, where is your church? And it finally dawned on me that she was assuming I was serving a church somewhere. I said, no, right here. Because God would not let me forget. One of my best friends, John Malik. I like John Malik because he can fix anything and I can fix nothing. So when something breaks in my house, I say, hey, John, come on over. And he'd say to me all the time, yeah, you're not where you should be. And I'd say, yeah, you can shut your mouth. But I was pretty ordinary. I was just talking to Greg about being one of six boys and three girls in that very Catholic family. And we were the poor folk in town. We talked about, I was watching, anybody watch Gutfeld at night? I think it's great. And they were talking about, a store that was, they were talking about people buying things to wear once and then return them to the store. And they were having a fit about, oh my goodness, wear something that someone else has worn and oh, that's awful. And I'm thinking, my new clothes were the clothes my older brothers grew out of. So, and if I'd ever said to my mother, I'm not wearing something that somebody else has worn, she'd still be spanking me. I was basically pretty ordinary. But God had something in mind for me. And God made it clear very early on. And all through those years of my trip to Tarshish, there's a pretty stormy seas on the way. God did not let me forget what he had called for. It isn't true for anybody that may think that way. It isn't true that God has not called you. It isn't true that, I'm just a person here, and you have to be special to be sent out on a mission by God. The persons in the Bible were all ordinary people, and many of them did not want to do what God is calling them to. Because, you know, pretty typically, God calls us. Well, universally, God calls to something that the person doesn't want to do. Jonah did not want to preach in Nineveh. Moses, again, that wonderful story in Exodus where Moses lines up his excuses. Well, I can't go alone. Well, who are you anyway? Well, they won't listen to me. Well, I don't speak well. And the greatest one, send somebody else. God desires from each of us that we listen for his call. God desires from each of us, while he does not deny us the freedom to say no, God desires from each of us that we say yes. One of the things I found out, I'm pulling something out of next week here. One of the things that I found out in the years during which I said yes was that the ordinariness and the lack of qualification for the work God was calling me to wasn't so. I found that I could live out the call that God placed on my life. And not because I'm so good, but because God is very good. So when God calls you. And how God calls is based on who you are. God would speak in very direct ways to me over the course of my life. Mostly because I was so awfully bad at listening to him that he had to yell. But who you are and how you are and what God has made you is what God has in mind for the work of moving ahead the salvation of the world. God calls you to be part of that. Uniquely and personally. God calls you to a ministry, whatever it is, to a person, to a church, to a business, to offer God's word and God's presence and God's hope in places where they're needed, and they're needed everywhere. We're all Jonahs. Ordinary people, sons of somebody, or daughters, needing to hear what God has for us. We can be confident that what God calls us to is just right, and that we can do it because God sees to it. Are you sent to Nineveh? Well then. Don't go to Tarshish. Amen. Amen.